At some point in the new year, the U.S. Senate will convene an impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. It's primarily a fight between the legislative and executive branches of the federal government. But a third branch will also play a role. Erwin Kamerinsky is a constitutional law scholar and dean of the UC Berkeley Law School. He was recently in Hawaii and spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty about the role of the judiciary in the U.S. government and presidential impeachment.
I think the key role of the judiciary is to ensure that the government follows the Constitution and laws of the United States. The most basic aspect of the rule of law is that no one, not the president, not any government official, is above the law. But the only way to ensure that is to have a judiciary to have checks and balances.
How does the check and balance system work as far as the judiciary is concerned? What role does it play in that system of checks and balances?
The key is that the judiciary can invalidate government actions, even actions by the president, if they violate the Constitution. The courts can strike down any government action if it violates the laws of the United States.
We are in a hyper-partisan time right now, and I think a lot of people probably feel that atmosphere has bled into the judiciary and not just the legislative and the executive branch, because it is the president who appoints federal judges. As a legal scholar, how do you view that? Has there always been a partisan influence into the judiciary? How does the current moment compare to the past in that sense?
The ideology of the justices and the judges is often determinative with regard to the outcome of cases. That's been true throughout American history. And presidents will generally pick justices and judges who are consistent with the president's ideology. Some presidents are more ideologically defined than others. Dwight Eisenhower was not a particularly ideologically defined president. He appointed a Democrat, William Brennan, to the Supreme Court. He appointed a liberal Republican, Earl Warren, to the Supreme Court. But in recent years, our presidents have been more ideologically defined. Certainly Donald Trump and Barack Obama were ideologically defined. And not surprisingly, they respectively picked conservative and liberal judges for the Supreme Court and the lower courts of the United States.
Do you think, looking back through history, right now the Supreme Court, as cited by both political parties, as one of the most important reasons for controlling the White House so that you can appoint judges to the Supreme Court, has there been a period in history any time over the course of the existence of the United States where appointing judges to the Supreme Court has been as much of a political focus as it is right now?
In 1936, at a time when the Supreme Court was invalidating all of the New Deal programs, the direction of the Supreme Court was an enormously crucial political issue. There are other times when it's less of a political issue.
It seems to me in 2019 that almost everything ends up in the court, that whether it's environmental regulation or labor laws or social issues, it seems like the go-to response for everyone right now, whatever side of the political spectrum they're on, is to file a lawsuit in court to try to oppose a policy that they don't like. Is that a relatively modern phenomenon, or have we seen the court system and the judiciary be the first line of offense in the past as well?
It's not modern at all. In the early 19th century, Alexis de Tocqueville in Democracy in America said, "There's scarcely any major question in the United States that doesn't ultimately become a judicial question." And there are many things that never end up in the courts. What the president does with regard to tariffs is a place where the courts don't get involved. The president's use of troops in a foreign country are rarely a matter of judicial review. On the other hand, so many key social issues are ultimately legal issues, and thus the courts get involved.
I'd like to briefly touch upon some of the impeachment proceedings in a minute. But before we talk about that, I wanted to ask you about there are a number of lawsuits working their way towards the Supreme Court, it seems, that directly pertain to issues of presidential power, whether the president's, in this case, the current president's financial information can be disclosed to the Congress. And so we have this this tug of war between the legislative and the executive branch, in which the third branch of government, the judiciary, will have to make a ruling. Could you maybe give us an example of a similar incident in the past when the Supreme Court was called upon to delineate the separation of powers, where that line fell between the legislative and the executive branches? And do you think that in this case there will be a substantial moving of that line in one direction or the other?
In 1974, the House Judiciary Committee was considering and then voted articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon. While all of this was going on, the Watergate special prosecutor subpoenaed tapes of White House conversations to use in prosecuting those who were involved in the Watergate cover-up. President Richard Nixon invoked executive privilege and said he, as the president, should be able to determine what matters, what documents, what tapes are kept secret. The United States Supreme Court, 8-0, ruled against Richard Nixon, and the majority included three Nixon appointees to the court, Berger, Blackmun, and Powell. The Supreme Court made it clear that it's the province and duty of the Judicial Department to say what the law is. It's not for the president to decide. And the court said executive privilege had to give way to the need for evidence in a criminal trial. There's differences now in that much of the subpoenas are about President Trump's personal financial records, but there's also similarity in terms of, does the president get to decide what's secret, or is that for the courts? In the early 1950s, 1951, President Truman seized the steel mills, saying that they were essential for the functioning of the fighting of the Korean War. And he said he had the authority as president to do this when there was going to be a labor stoppage to make sure the steel production went on uninterrupted. And the Supreme Court, 6-3, ruled against President Truman in Youngstown Sheet 2 versus Sawyer and made clear that the president didn't have that power, even in wartime.
And I think the last thing I'd like to talk about, could you briefly give us an overview of what role the judiciary will play in the coming impeachment trial? What role does the Supreme Court and the judiciary play in that process?
Well, most immediately, the Chief Justice of the United States will preside over the trial in the Senate. And in the past, that's been a relatively minor role. Chief Justice Rehnquist presided over the Clinton impeachment trial in the Senate, and Rehnquist remarked, he quipped, and said, "I did very little and I did it well." I think in this instance, John Roberts' role could be larger. I think what the senators on the Republican side are likely to do is move to dismiss all charges and not have a trial at all. And one of the things John Roberts got to rule on is, can the Senate do that, or do they have to have a trial? I don't expect that the Supreme Court's going to need to decide major cases that are going to affect the outcome of the impeachment and the trial. The reason for that is there's really no factual dispute here. When it came to the Nixon impeachment, the question was always, what did the president know and when did he know it? Ultimately, the Watergate tapes were crucial in that regard, and they became public only after the Supreme Court decision. But here, there's no doubt what President Trump said to the president of the Ukraine. He said, quote, "I need a favor, though." And key witnesses like Gordon Sondland, Fiona Hill, have made absolutely clear that it was a quid pro quo. Mick Mulvaney, the chief of staff, said to the press, it was a quid pro quo. Get over it. So the only issue here is, does this rise to the level of an impeachable offense? It's not a factual question. The evidence doesn't matter. It's not really a legal question. It's a question that each senator is going to have to answer.
And is there any avenue to dispute the outcome of such a vote in the Senate, either way it goes? Something sort of like in the 2000 presidential election with George W. Bush and Al Gore, where the Supreme Court ultimately had to rule on who is going to be the next president. Is there any chance that a dispute over the result of that vote could end up before the Supreme Court?
No chance whatsoever. The United States Supreme Court has made clear that the federal judiciary will not review impeachment and removal processes in Congress. In fact, the Supreme Court has specifically held that such matters are political questions and left for Congress to resolve.
That was Erwin Kamerinsky, Dean of the UC Berkeley Law School, talking with HPR's Ryan Finnerty.